Fives, top five at five.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russ LeBaire back with you. Now, Marcus Young is legend to be back with us here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios tomorrow. So, looking forward to having the third member of our triumvirate back with us. And we'll have Marcus Young back on the top five at five.
You know what I figured out since Marcus has been sick? Glad you're feeling better, buddy. It's kind of like I was talking to him this morning, and I was like, well, you still sound horrible. He's like, no, this is just my normal voice.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, we got to work on him with the projection and radio voice, diction, things of that nature. Anyway, Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. Number one, Tennessee baseball schedule re-released today as the SEC had to redo things after they kind of goofed and left Arkansas off our schedule. Auburn comes off, Arkansas goes on. Tennessee's other nine opponents remain the same, but the order in which those series has been rearranged. And so they will start at Mizzou. First home series will be against A&M. They go to LSU, Florida at home, at Arkansas, Vandy at home, Mississippi State at home, at Georgia, Kentucky at home, at South Carolina. So really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Home schedule there. I mean, Kentucky is kind of, whatever. But everybody, I mean, Mississippi State, you're removed from national title. Vanderbilt, enough said. Florida, it's the Gators. A&M, very ascendant program under Schlossnagel down there. It's like, that's a good home setup. Tony Vitello coming up in 18 minutes right here on Fan Run Radio on The Drive. Number two, in the big leagues, we are winding on down. Two more days of the regular season, and then we move on to the playoffs. Braves making it interesting, man. Try and wrap it up again tonight. Taking on the Marlins, 6:40 p.m. first pitch. Jake Odorizzi on the line, on the mound for the Braves. Mets up 2-0 in the top of the third against the Nationals. First game of a doubleheader going on right now. I'm not nervous. You're nervous.
You put it on.
Number three. Maybe I don't want to watch. Number three, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones would not rule out Dak Prescott from playing Sunday against the Rams, but he acknowledged the quarterback's grip on the football is, quote, not well enough to play at the moment.
I don't see what the rush is, no pun intended. Because that kid's nice, yeah. The guy's done a
job.
He's done a pretty damn good job so far. They hadn't lost, so he's been winning with him. So, and I mean, he threw what, two touchdowns? I know he threw one to CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, let's be honest here. We're all hoping that they rush Dak back, and then it
completely
all falls
destroy
apart.
Destroy the locker room.
Yeah, and they have a quarterback controversy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's going to happen, isn't it?
Hopefully.
Because it's the Cowboys. And how
it's
about
Jerry
the Cowboys?
Jones. He can't get out of his own way.
Number four. Staying in the NFL, Coats running back Jonathan Taylor Thomas is hopeful he'll be able to play in Thursday night's game against the Broncos despite a badly twisted right ankle he suffered in a loss Sunday to my Titans. All-pro running back said today he is rehabbing furiously and has seen definite improvement since Sunday. He says, quote, I definitely do plan to play, but if you can't go, you can't go. That's why you have to get as much treatment as you can.
Think he's sleeping in one of those hyperbaric chambers?
No, man. I mean, I know all these ankle injuries are different and it's hard to compare and people are different and everything, but I find it hard. If you're knocked out of the game against the Titans, you're going to turn around and play Thursday at running back in the NFL?
Seems kind of doubtful to me.
Yeah. Finally, number five, a 2,554-pound pumpkin.
What?
Grown in upstate New York has set a new U.S. record for the heaviest. 2,554-pound pumpkin. State and national records fell over the weekend at the Great Pumpkin Farm in the Buffalo suburb of Clarence when Scott Andruzzi's entry broke the previous record of 2,528 pounds. So he got it by about 26 pounds, Bear. It's a big old pumpkin. A grower in Italy holds the world record for the heaviest pumpkin. He grew a 2,700-pound squash in 2021. So is squash and pumpkin are the same thing?
They're gourds. Same family, I believe.
2,700. That's a ton.
Yeah. I doubt it was edible.
God, who wants to eat a... How long did it take you to eat 2,000 pounds of pumpkin? That's a lot of pumpkin pie right there.
Yeah.
Not
what,
a big
what
fan.
What do they do with those humongous pumpkins?
I mean, what do you mean? What they do? You take as many pictures as you can until it rots, I guess.
They not sell them like some kind of pumpkin pie company? Or
I don't know.
We'll look that up.
That would be near the top of the list of awesome things Russell hates. Just pumpkin anything.
I don't think pumpkin's all that popular.
Yeah, okay. But the people who love it are kind of...
Well, people like Houston Kress are psychos.
Kind of cultish about it. Yeah. Well, and I may or may not be married to one of these people.
Oh, no. Pumpkin spice enthusiast, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
What's the weirdest pumpkin spice tasting thing you have?
So... She likes this pumpkin spice coffee creamer that's only available like this time of year, right?
Right.
So what do you think she does?
Gets a ton of it and freezes half of it?
Yeah.
She likes it that much.
I got a bunch of pumpkin spice creamer in my beer fridge.
She's got a cult-like level of devotion.
I'm telling you, it's weird.
Kress is the same way, man.
Yeah. That is,
I could literally drop a hamburger in the coals, burn it up, tell Kress it's pumpkin spice, and he'd eat it.
It's not in. Pumpkin's weird, man. Pumpkins are decorative. They shouldn't be eaten. They don't taste very good. I'm not down.
Now, you know what they do?
Pie.
I do like at Halloween when everybody's got their candles and their jack o' lanterns. I like the smell.
They smell okay. Yeah,
I like a good pumpkin. You know, I don't mind the smell like that, you know, like a warm pumpkin pie candle or something.
My mom will often buy for the kids, she'll get us like a big old box of Dunkin' Donuts holes, the Munchkins.
Yeah.
Which are so good, right?
Yeah.
Love those. And I get so excited I see them. And a couple of months ago, she had bought the box, now go in there, and I see what I think is the blueberry Munchkin, which are my favorites.
Oh, they're incredible.
And I pop one of those bad boys in. Bear, it was a pumpkin Munchkin.
Oh no!
I about threw up right there in the kitchen sink, just standing there. I couldn't eat the rest of the day.
In front of the wife and kids, you did?
Yeah.
What do you mean you couldn't eat the rest of the day?
I mean, my aversion is that strong. Don't like it, no, sir.
Apparently, according to Houston, who is very grieved right now, pumpkin spice foods are not pumpkin flavored. They're flavored with the spices used in a pumpkin pie.
It's not real pumpkin. Whatever, Dorco Malorco. Go get your pumpkin spice and
your pumpkin spice double kai latte or whatever it is you drink down there at Starbucks. Dilettante. Get out of here, Houston Kress. You don't want to mix it up with us.
Hey, the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you by G&J Auto Graphics. You know what tomorrow is? It's another free window tint Wednesday. Your chance to win a free window tint package valued at around $300, depending on the make, model of your car. And we're giving away not one, but two free window tint packages tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio. All you have to do to win is so precious little. Ladies and gentlemen, simply go to fanrunradio.com/tint. That's fanrunradio.com/TINT. and you just fill out a little form there. You give us your name, your phone number, your email address, and the make and model of your car. Boom, done. Takes you about 20 seconds, and you'll be registered to win these fabulous gifts and prizes. So John Reed is giving away the first one at 2 p.m. tomorrow. 2 p.m. sharp right here on Fanner. Boy, Houston is hot in the text box. Like,
is he?
Yeah. It's like, dude, I'm trying to do a radio show here, man. I'm doing a live read. Stop blowing me up. About to talk to Vitello.
Who?
Doing big boy work here. Not whatever that stuff you do. Or what are they doing? Like hooking Nate's nipples up to a car battery or something in the morning? Like, are they doing that thing?
It's that point in their programming calendar for the year.
Very sophisticated radio, Houston. I don't bug you when you guys are seeing how many ping pong paddles you can stick in Adam Hickman's mouth. Don't bother me while I'm trying to do a live read for one of our paying customers. Please. A little professionalism, please. Free window tint Wednesday, courtesy of our friends at G&J Auto Graphics. Check them out online at gnjauto.com. Get registered now. Your chance to win. Yeah, tomorrow, John Reed, 2 p.m., gives away the first one, and then I think Jake Miller is going to give away a window tint on overtime. So two chances to win. Go to fanrunradio.com/TINT and get registered right now. Tony Vitello coming up in a mere matter of moments. I'm excited. I'm at baseball fever, man. We're playing Wake Forest over there. What kind of crowd do you think people show up to that? Like, I was almost surprised that they made it free admission, because the way this town has baseball fever, I think a lot of people are going to go to that on Sunday.
I just think it's that they know it's a, you know, an out-of-season Sunday afternoon game competing against, you know, the mighty NFL and whatever else is going on. It's going to be a beautiful day, and it's also a way – it's a smart move of, you know, making it a free game, very fan-friendly. It's kind of a nice thank you.
Yeah, they're
you
not
– come watch us. We're not going to get money from you for, basically a scrimmage.
Well, they're not going overboard with the promotion either. Like, it's not just – I haven't heard about it, seen about it everywhere. So if you're a hardcore Tennessee baseball fan and you follow their accounts on Facebook and Twitter, or you listen to talk radio or whatever, you're aware of this. But I will be very interested to see how many people are over there on a nice Sunday afternoon after a big Vols win. Yeah, I'm calling it that they're going to go out there and show up for Knoxville's favorite son right now, Tony Vitello.
Well, yeah, this will also give us an opportunity to get our first look at the new team.
First chance to see Maui Wowie, first chance to see Zane Denton, Griffin Merritt, transfers, basically a whole new field.
Yeah, and get to see, we haven't seen, you know who else we're going to get to see? Coach Frank Thomas. Not Thomas.
The Big Hurt?
Not the Big Hurt.
Frank Anderson?
Frank Anderson.
Does he have to serve?
I had Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah, I mean, that'll be in season. I got two baseball guys and a movie director mixed up all in my head there. Yeah, we get to see Coach Anderson. I haven't seen him since
Frank
Friday.
Frank the Tank. Yeah. So that'll be cool. And we can ask him about that. Like, aren't they playing 18 innings, basically? So it's not – I don't think people are going to stay for the whole thing. You come in, watch baseball for an hour or so, and then take off.
Yeah, that's what I'm planning on doing. I'm going to go watch a couple of hours just because I'm finally been given quote-unquote permission to go to stuff like that.
A chance to see all our pitchers in action. Like, I think that, you know, you get Dolander, Beam.
Oh, everybody's going to.
Burnsy.
Yeah, get a throw.
An inning or two. Everybody throw 30, 40 pitches, something like that. Yeah, it'll be good, man.
Who else? You're forgetting some of our pitchers.
Oh, I'm forgetting most of them. I mean, those are the big three. The three starters, but yeah, I mean, they'll have some new arms out there as well.
Who do you think is our number one reliever this year out of the bullpen?
I don't know. If only we had access to somebody with some sort of inside information on the thing. Oh, yeah, we can ask the guy himself coming up here in just a few moments.
Do we even really have
Sewell's back? I mean, I would think that he's at the top of that list.
Camden?
Yeah.
He's my favorite of all. Maybe in any sport.
You do have – it's kind of weird, man. Not going to lie. People have been talking around the station.
That's
fine. What's up with Baron Camden Sewell? Like, it's
I'm a huge fan of his. He's a throwback, man. He's the most obsessive, compulsive, like, type baseball guy we got. That stuff's hilarious to me. Like, how many ticks and things that guy's got to go do his whole laundry
list
before he pitches.
So that's what you identify with out of him is, like, he's a big weirdo, and so that attracts you.
That, and he can absolutely, you know, deal on your ass.
He can hum it.
Yeah.
Vols continuing preparations for LSU. Tennessee is a 2.5-point favorite, and they've got it kind of – they've got it tightened down over there, right, man? No, nobody's leaking out. You don't hear anything about Tillman. You don't hear anything about the game plan. Don't hear anything. That's the way Heupel likes it, just workmanlike over there, grinding, doing their thing.
Yeah.
Excited, man. Excited to see it. Here, Trey, guy's not working at all. People are fired up about Tennessee football like they haven't been in a long time.
I just don't get – he doesn't know what he's missing out on, Trey specifically.
Oh, well, about baseball, yeah. Yeah.
Just about how much fun you're missing out on, dude. This may be the – and I think a lot of it's just because of coach and the guys and the way they played and the attitude they play with and their – I mean, maybe the most Tennessee program out of all of them. Right now, an attitude, don't you think?
Yeah, well, they've got a special connection with the fans, for sure. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with the head coach of your Tennessee baseball Volunteers, Tony Vitale. Get his thoughts on this LSU game as well. You know, he's looking forward to watching that game. Stay tuned. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming live at fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. Variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. Russell Smith, Bear cruising along with you. Tuesday afternoon edition of the show, and pleased to be joined by the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee, Tony Vitello, joining us on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Coach, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm making a drive while listening to The Drive.
Doing hey.
Well. Good combo. Good combo.
Good. Well, we're glad to have you on here. And what are you doing driving? Aren't you guys, like, practicing now or something?
We had a scrimmage today. We went kind of early start to baseball, and they're finishing in the weight room today. So while Coach Q's doing his thing, I hit the road to catch a game this evening. Recruiting season, well, recruiting season never ends,
yeah.
But being able to go out on the road will end for us this coming Sunday, which is, you know, kind of why we timed up that weight game the way we did.
Do you guys have plans to watch the football game against LSU as a team, or are you guys going to be working out then too?
Not as a team. What we're going to do is we're going to give them the entire afternoon. Wake Forest is actually going to come in early, and they'll work out on our field in the afternoon. And then we're going to feed our guys dinner. And then practice once the game is over with.
All right. Well, hopefully it will be a happy practice for the Volunteers. Is that pretty exciting stuff, the Wake Forest game coming in? It's a free admission thing on Sunday. This is something that probably wouldn't have drawn a lot of attention in previous years, but I don't know about you, Coach. I'm thinking a pretty decent amount of people are going to show up for that thing Sunday.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with timing, and then, you know, obviously the interest in the program has picked up. But we're playing a great opponent in Wake Forest. Not only are they usually a good program and a great league, but it's an on year for them, if that's the right way to say it. And then, again, we tried to avoid a conflict with the football schedule. The weather should be great.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a free admission deal. It's on our campus as opposed to when we traveled to Jackson, Tennessee. Ticket prices aren't that expensive, but they sold those tickets out, 6,000 of them. They sold out in a heartbeat. So the demand is there when we go on the road. Last year, Chattanooga, and then, of course, over at Smokies, and we were down in Millington, Tennessee, closer to Memphis. Those were all capacity crowds. So, you know, hopefully Lindsey Nelson is rocking in the fall, not just the spring this Sunday.
Sure it will be. Coach, we have some great audience questions I ought to get to here in just a second, but I do have to ask you about the schedule that was released today. Now, they released the SEC schedule a couple weeks ago, and everybody's like, why isn't Arkansas on there? We didn't play them this past season. That is beginning to be a kind of a cool rivalry between the Vols and Hogs, and they re-release it, and of course you are going to Arkansas now. What happened there with the schedule snafu?
Well, they have a computer that takes over that whole deal, and somehow there was a glitch in the computer, and once that was explained to us, I just kind of spaced out, but I don't think we were the only team that was affected by that glitch. Now, once they went in and fixed everything or redid everything, regardless of the circumstances, it changed the whole deal for us and for every other team in the league. So someone asked me my preference or any of that stuff. Recently, the one thing that was unique about the first schedule release was we finished at Auburn, which is right next to Hoover. This year, we'll finish at South Carolina. Now, nothing wrong with that. 2 years ago, we finished there as well. Our guys were able to come home, celebrate winning the league, and sleep in their own bed for a couple nights before we drove to Hoover. We're fortunate enough to have a relatively easy drive down to that conference tournament. So, you know, you look at where you're going and what time of year, but if you're trying to size up, like, what teams you're playing, you end up kind of wasting your time. You know, there's certain teams that didn't have to face Dolander this year. We went to Florida and avoided one of their best pitchers. So that's just one example how timing, when you play an opponent, can vary, and there's no way really to predict how tough your schedule is or how tough it's not. The bottom line is it's the SEC, and everybody knows what that means.
Well, it's a pretty cool home schedule too. I mean, you got Vandy at home this year, Mississippi State 2 years removed from a national championship, Florida's coming in here, A&M. I mean, that's, you know, talk about the atmosphere at Lindsey Nelson. It should be at its peak again this season, I would imagine.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, last year we had a strong following in Lexington, Kentucky, and we just didn't play well. So maybe guys will have that in the back of their mind, and folks that watch us play them will see us play better. And then, you know, being centrally located like we are, it's nice that Georgia's not that far away. South Carolina's not that far away. So hopefully.
Coach, you there? Oh.
Here.
Coach, you cut out for just a little bit here, but you talk about some of those road series, and Arkansas and LSU spring to mind. Those are big stadiums. Fans traveled to Kentucky. Are those going to be – will it be hard for Tennessee fans to get tickets to those series if they want to go and watch you guys on the road?
I think it'll be – you know, I think it'll be reasonable for fans to do that, to jump in. It will be more of a challenge than some other places we go. Heck, but if we got a big enough crowd and people are struggling, hit me up with an email. We'll find a way.
There you go. All right. Let's get some audience questions, because this was a good one, Coach. Sean wants to know if you have any food suggestions for fans who would make that trip to Arkansas.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And, you know, I like being close to campus, and also I never cook. So I was right in the heart of that Dixon Street where we would go to Doe's all the time as a staff or with recruits for steaks. Doe's steaks are unbelievable. Right across the street is Farrell's, which is a sports bar. And Farrell's was a great one for me and my family just to go at the end of a series. Everybody's kind of worn out, wants to talk about the series and you know, grab some sports bar food. And then, you know, they've changed the deal a little bit there with some venues since I've been there, but there's some really good spots along that way. And then one that's a little off the beaten path is called Tacos for Life, and it's kind of a unique taco. It's for a good cause, and we gave our guys that last time we were in Fayetteville. Now, it didn't get us any wins, but it got us a lot of compliments from the players. They enjoyed those tacos.
All right, well, there you have it. I'm sure our friends in Arkansas and LSU will love seeing a bunch of orange-clad, obnoxious Tennessee fans coming down there for a couple of baseball games.
Yeah, normally fans, and I've experienced this at other places too, they're real welcoming. because maybe they like to travel too. I think it's when you beat them is when you kind of mess them up a little bit. So if they sense a threat, maybe it gets different. But, you know, I know a couple people that have hit me up down at LSU that want me to go get a bite on Thursday night before the series starts. And I didn't have the heart to tell them. We'll be busy with practice and all that. But, you know, one thing that's in the South is hospitality, and it's not quite as friendly when you're wearing different colors, but I think it's more friendly than people realize kind of behind the scenes, or maybe when there's not a, you know, 17-17 football game going on.
All right, so we had a guy from LSU. You know who T. Bob Hebert is?
I don't, but I like the last name. I like the whole name.
So it's Bobby Hebert's son, the former Saints quarterback, and he played offensive lineman at LSU. We had him on yesterday. We're talking about the football game, and they're ate up with baseball down there too. And we were just asking him about the game. Audience wants me to play this audio for you. I said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to. But since we're talking about this, we're just going to go ahead and do it, because he started talking about you and the baseball program. I want you to listen to this, Coach. This is T. Bob Hebert, former LSU player, talking about Tennessee baseball.
Gotcha. I got some, just like I was getting after y'all's ass in baseball season. Y'all both fat and cocky. Y'all got a couple. I get it, you know. You got a couple big doves under your belt feeling all good. But guess what, man? Baseball's about to come back home, okay? Because Jay Johnson is building a squad so it gets to go up against you pretenders. Tony B.
Tony Vitello sends his regards.
Boys, dude. Yeah. We're going to see.
So he said, it's hard to hear, he said – pretenders, and then he called you guys fake bad boys was the quote. Coach, you're under their skin.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, that's a lot wrapped into one. That's for certain, but everybody's so entitled to their own opinion. You know, I know another deal down there, someone that's on the radio. I've got a Cajun kid I coached at Missouri, and he lives down that way, and he mentioned on the radio this guy that, you know, is bad mouthing me pretty good. Well, then he's got a son that he's wanting us to recruit. And I was kind of wondering which way we going with this whole thing. So I don't know what we are, I bad boys, or whether we're going to be good 1 year or for 5 years. I can't see into the future. But the one thing that I think we have a bunch of people in our program, and we're going to be who we are. We ain't going to try and stab somebody in the back and then shake your hand in front when the cameras are clicking. We can talk about that off air if y'all want to, or, you know, anything else. So, again, we're just trying to keep food on the table like everybody else, but I think we got an authentic group of coaches to try and pull that same thing out of our kids, and hopefully the result is entertaining and winning baseball for Vol fans. But at the very, very least, I think if the Vol fans come watch us play against Wake, or they travel to Baton Rouge or wherever, they'll see our kids compete and play hard. And if they don't, then I've said this before, email me. Or if they don't for a long enough period of time, then I will move to Europe. And
Coach, are you with us? You cut out there again. Are you there?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
You're good.
Sorry.
Move to Europe.
My way down the highway.
No, we don't want you moving to Europe anytime soon.
You travel east. It gets scenic, but it gets a little hilly over these parts.
No, you're good. Garrett wants to know who this year's secret weapon is. You said last year it would be Ben Joyce, and he was pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Gosh dang, the way two of our pitchers threw today. I think it's early to make that statement.
Okay.
Now, Jake Fitzgibbons is a kid who really hasn't kind of reached his potential, in part because of injury. And he's a kid from Mount Juliet that just has an electric arm. And he was so good in practice today. So that was a fun one for sure. But I don't know that we've racked up enough repetitions to know exactly who the secret weapon can be. Dylan Dreiling is a really exciting freshman. And Fitzy is a kid who's now a veteran. He's just not a household name for Vol fans because of, you know, freshman year nerves and an injury last year as well. But he's got a great arm.
Sam wants to know, which player on the roster would you most like to have your back in a bar fight?
Well, I'm hoping their eligibility's over with and they're a lot older and we're just revisiting old times, as opposed to me hanging out at Cool Beans with one of the players or something like that. But that's an interesting one. I think, you know, as I'm going down the list of guys in my head, Christian Scott is one that comes to mind for a few different reasons. And a big one is he's been in the program for 4 years, and now this is his fifth year. And I don't know that he was the toughest cat freshman year, but he's grown and matured a lot.
It would have been Gilbert last year, no questions asked, right?
Yeah, I mean, that one, I would have just stood behind him and watched the mayhem ensue. But, yeah, you know, you don't want any of the guys to get in an actual fight. We've got one guy that's done that. It was a long time ago. But, you know, you want guys with that mentality and guys you can trust in the trenches. And, again, we're in the very early stages of this fall, and a lot of that trust has not been earned yet by the new guys. And Coach Q's earning his salary with all that. And it's something we take a lot of pride in. So I think that chemistry and camaraderie will be back around with a lot of new faces, but we got to earn it first.
All right, last one of these, and then we'll play some tunes for you. Waylon wants to know, what is the best or funniest insult a coach ever told you during your playing days? We are on terrestrial radio, I have to remind you.
Well, yeah, there was a guy who's a very well-known coach. When I was up to bat, I was a nine-hole hitter. I was trying to get on base, and he sensed that, and he was frustrated because his pitcher wasn't throwing me strikes. And he kept yelling like crazy, "He don't want to hit, he don't want to hit." So I came back to the dugout and told our guys, and I was like, man, I was kind of rattled. You know, the coach was saying this. Then he came over to coach third base, and our guys kept repeating everything he was saying to me. That I relayed to them. Next thing you know, he ended up in our dugout at University of Missouri. And, you know, just a guy that's very competitive. And it's amazing when you're on the field. We're not mic'd up during the game more times than not, but there's a lot of fun comments that go back and forth. That's just one memory right there. I don't know that it was a crazy insult or a comedic comment, but that memory sticks out for sure.
I was going to say, you've never said anything similar in your position as a coach, right?
You know, I'm not guilty, guilt-free, I should say. I'm not guilt-free in a lot of categories. But I don't ever really like talking to the players. I think something I've had to come to grips with is everybody kind of calls me Tony, even our fans or little kids, which is fine. But I was a little shocked last year when other SEC teams would be yelling at me and refer to me as Tony instead of Coach Vitello. So maybe that resulted in a little bit of extra feistiness. But, you know, for the most part, I think the players should talk to players and coaches should talk to coaches. And once the game starts, I'd like to be in the quote-unquote fight, the competitive battle, but you're really not. It's the kids. And it's the players.
Okay. Well, Coach Vitello, are you ready for a little jam or not a jam?
I am. I appreciate that old school respect there.
Exactly. Let's get a couple of tunes here. Bear, what do you got?
All right.
Watch this. These are my confessions. Just when I thought I said all I can say, my chick on the side.
All right. There was a little Usher.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so, and I can see that setting the mood for, you know, in February when Valentine's Day rolls around, but not a jam for me in particular.
Maybe a slow jam, but not a jam in the sense that I think we're looking for in this particular game. Bear, what do you think?
No, not a jam.
Oh, wow, a unanimous unjam to start things off. It could be a harbinger of things to come. What do you got next? Oh. Little Duran Duran. Wait. Coach, could you hear that? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear it. I'm just torn on how I want to answer. I'm sensing I'm a big Ordinary World. It's in a, if you've never seen the movie Layer Cake, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
That Daniel Craig is in. I like that Duran Duran song in there, but that one, that song I don't dislike, but I'm going to go jam.
Not a jam, Coach V. I'm not ashamed to say, maybe I should be. I celebrate their entire catalog. I love me some Duran Duran. Ordinary World is a great song. So is that one. I say a jam. Bear, what do you say?
I got to go jam. I love that record.
Can I get a redo?
No, Coach. Your answer is your answer. It's
see what happens when your last game is a loss. You got a little insecurity about you. I need a game, a win to build some confidence.
It's okay. We respect all opinions here. It is a judgment-free zone on Jam or Not a Jam. What's next, Bear?
I was caller number 5 on the radio station. Want a 4-day, 3-night beach vacation. Deep sea senorita fishing down in Panama. And I ain't got to see my ex-future mother-in-law anymore.
Is that Luke Combs?
He's got a...
I gotta go. Whether you like it or not, or the artist, it's catchy enough that you jam it. Might boost your mood if you're a little sullen one day. So I'll jam that song for the purpose of the game.
I feel like Coach is gonna just jam everything out now. He's feeling a little bit. He's a little insecure after the Duran controversy. Not my cup of tea. It's upbeat, but I'm gonna say not a jam.
Yeah, I'm gonna fall on the jam side of it because it does have. I mean, it's very hooky.
You don't think that's a jam? You just don't want to leave Coach hanging, I can respect.
I ain't leave
which
my boy hanging. Dude's always
appreciate
been really good to me.
Camaraderie.
You got it.
All right, one more here. Oh yeah. That's a 90s tune back in the day.
Is that better than Ezra?
Yes. From Baton Rouge.
Yeah, LSU grads. Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Now
you're torn.
I'm not at all.
Yeah, I'll jam that. I'll jam that.
It's, you know, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were from Florida. They're a bunch of Gators, but they still just jam after jam after jam. Those guys, you can't deny it. It's a jam. It's good, man. That's a great song.
For sure.
Jam.
That was a very reluctant jam.
Yeah, because they're LSU guys.
I don't sense a lot of commitment in either of your last two selections, my friend.
I try not to think about the fact that Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers were like legit Gator fans.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens.
What was Duran Duran? Were they Liverpool fans?
I'm not sure who they'd root for.
They might be City fans.
They're from Manchester, probably Chelsea.
Mm. All right, Coach. Well, that's good stuff, my friend. We appreciate you taking a few with us while you're on your drive. And looking forward to a little college baseball. I know it's football season, but you wouldn't believe how many calls we take, how many tweets we get about baseball, and I think you guys are going to see a good crowd over there on Sunday. It sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, come one, come all. I mean, free entry is a great deal, and then because it'll be an extended day, some of our guys will be free to roam and sign autographs or knuckle up young fans, whatever it might be. So, and I'm going to be on the – I really enjoy the questions. I really do, even if they're ones that put me on the hot seat, but the one I'll be thinking about Sunday is that bar fight deal. We're going to try and stay out of bar fights, but I'm going to be on the lookout for who my top three guys are. So next time those with you. I think I got one candidate, but I'm going to see him a little
all
bit
right
more before I decide on that.
We don't want to crown
tell you
him
who mine
just
is.
Who?
Frank. The Tank.
Frank the Tank.
Yeah, that's who I pick. Me and Frank.
I'll take the whole staff. I was going to say Redmond Walsh. He's helping us now. The whole staff has definitely earned their stripes, but we got to hold these boys to the fire for a little bit first.
All right. We'll circle back to the bar fight question maybe early next year, right before the season, and see if we got more candidates for that. But, Coach, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for jumping on.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Yep. Tony Vitello. Coach Vitello.
It's Coach Vitello.
Put some respect on his name.
Yeah.
His opponents referring to him as Tony. You think anybody's referring to Van Horn as Dave?
Probably
what,
not.
Do you know Dave?
But he's got that look of the man who's perpetually got a stick up his rear end. That's what that guy looks like.
He's still on.
And then they had to replace that soft ass LSU coach.
Oh!
I was trying to be nice to T-Bob yesterday when he was talking about fake toe. I was like, look, man, that guy got offended because our fans got a little rowdy, called us classless.
They were nasty.
We're nasty, yeah.
Nasty fans.
Anyhow, great appearance. You always get something out of him.
Yep. That was there's a lot to unpack there, man. To look up this Fitzgibbons kid, not familiar with his work, said he has an electric arm. We need some more of those.
Dude's on the road recruiting just constantly. Every time we talk to him.
Yeah. Hardest working man in the SEC. Stay with us. The drive continues. Got to take a quick break. Coach Vitello appears as all fan-run guests do via the magic of the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. And you can check out Big Orange Phillies at 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. I was in beautiful Halls earlier today. Did not have time to stop by Big Orange Phillies, but that is a situation we will have to remedy soon. You can get it delivered via Grubhub. Check out the menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. Back to wrap things up after this.
The Drive. Hey.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues, wrapping up on a Tuesday afternoon, rapidly becoming Tuesday evening edition of the show. You know, it's a daylight saving time. We'll be coming up here in a week or two.
Can they just leave it alone after this? Let us fall back, and then let's not spring ahead again.
I hate getting out of here and it's dark.
Really?
Yeah. I like being able to go home and sit out on the porch, crack open a cold one, just watch the day come to an end. I hate walking out here when it's dark, man. It'll start being dark at 5:30. It'll be dark right now here in a couple weeks.
I kind of like it. Variety is the spice of life. I just don't want to spring ahead. We just need to stay on one time. Either that or spring ahead next spring, and we'll do it one last time. But then that's how it is from now on.
Tony Vitello, another stellar appearance.
That guy does not disappoint, does
he? On the show today. It is comical how, for a guy who's usually unflappable, the jam or not a jam, like he was really.
That's literally what he talks about. As soon as any of our former interns, any of the guys from the station have ran into him out in public, which I don't know if you have, I haven't. And they say the first thing that he brings up when he realizes that they know us in the show is the jam or not a jam. He takes that real serious.
Yeah, yeah. He's stewing right now. Like, why did I?
Because we dirty Duran Duran. We really dirty dog him. We ought to let him give him a chance to go last. Sometimes we always put him on lead off.
Okay. Well, we can do that next time.
Yeah, we'll switch it up for him.
Okay.
Yeah. Got to be fair. Because I see what he's saying, man.
It's a lot of pressure going first.
Yeah.
You're
especially
putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And you saw it, because I know you don't like that Luke Bryan or Luke Combs or whatever that was. That
no, I imagine that with Gary Danielson breaking down wrongly a football game that I'm trying to watch is a soundtrack of what I think hell must be like.
Oh, wow.
So, no, but I'm not. I mean, that's my – I mean, Coach V and the guys, his program, have brought me a lot of joy in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
They did, man. Love those guys. So, yeah, I wasn't going to leave him hanging out there, man.
Love me some baseball, man. Between that program getting good and becoming a key talking point for what we do here, and then my son playing baseball, which he doesn't really care about. He just let, you know, they get a Capri Sun afterwards, whatever. But
Capri Sun orange slice.
Like, I get to hang out at the ball field, which I, like, brings back so many memories. Like, it's got me back into the Braves now. It's just brought baseball, which was like my favorite sport growing up, and I just sort of let it go.
Does he watch baseball on TV?
Who, my kid?
Yeah.
No.
I was getting
the attention span there is, like, he will sometimes come and sit and watch with me. I think the longest he might have made it 5 minutes once.
Mine won't watch baseball. Now, what mine will sit and watch is NBA.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's got me back into the NBA because that is the one sport that, like, I don't know if it's a younger NBA is more popular with the young ones or what.
Well, we got to get ready for old Beauregard and the boys. We'll go down there and take on Beauregard Kelly. Ha! You know, when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, my daddy used to say, growing up there in Boston, and I was just a wee lad. My daddy used to say, now, Beauregard, you be a good boy. You're going to be a big-time SEC football coach someday. Mind your manners, son. Roger will be our final caller of the evening. What's up, Rog?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Roger, you're not nearly – I'm doing good, thanks. You're not nearly as tickled about my Brian Kelly, Beauregard Kelly voice as you were yesterday.
Yeah, I like it. I like it though.
I've never made you laugh like that yesterday.
Oh, he was tickled yesterday. Roger couldn't stop laughing.
Hello. I wanted to ask you a few questions about the – I heard today talk wrestling today, Brandon wrestled it. Since you're going with the uniforms, so I just want to ask you about that. Have you heard why they did it for? Kind of weird. On the road, that's why I ask you. Have you heard why they did it?
It's about the kids, Rush.
Yeah, it's what the kids want, Rush. Now, we can't add Roger. We've got a rocking chair next to me, Russ, Adam Sparks. We'll get you a glass of lemonade up there on the porch with the old timers that don't like it. Do you like it?
I'm just curious. It's all right, not really. It's all right. I just want to know what the why though wrestle for though. You heard why?
Because it gets the players pumped up, and I think that's just going to be a built-in feature of Josh Heupel's program. Is they're going to wear a lot of alternate uniforms. They were going to wear an orange helmet. They ordered orange helmets this year, but they couldn't get the color scheme right. So you're going to see that. You've got the dark, the dark mode. You got the smoky gray, and I think you're going to see more variations. Through the years, I think that's just what they do now, Raj. But we got to run. By the way, Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking out question today. What is the best Vols alternate uniform? 335 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 53.1% say dark mode.
Really?
47% say smoky gray. So kind of right down the middle there. We'll talk about that some tomorrow. Raj, we got to run. Thank you for the phone call. I guess no overtime tonight? Nobody's out there?
I don't think so. I think he told me he was running late or something. So.
All right. Well, coming up next, here on many of these fine fan-run affiliates, it's something else. We'll do it again tomorrow here on The Drive.